Hey, it's Jonah Camera.
And I'm John Ritchie.
Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Grimes rises and hits. We're tied at 126.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. There it was last night. Kate Scott on the call on NBC Sports Philadelphia as the Sixers come back there, tie the game with the Wizards. They go on to win it in overtime. How about the Sixers, Hugh? 4-0. Tyrese Maxey, I mean, very early.
Glad I got that jersey before he blew up.
There you go. How about Tyrese Maxey?
He ain't returning nobody phone calls after this.
I mean, four games in. MVP front runner at this point?
I mean, the season's still early, but I'm excited to see what I've been seeing with the Sixers. I'm not going to lie. I mean, it's one of those things where they're fun to watch, and I think that's what it needs to be.
Yeah, last night, 39 from Maxey, 22 for Quentin Grimes off the bench. Joel Embiid, 25 points in 23 minutes. Still not moving great out there, but at least able to score a little bit. And, your reaction on the Sixers getting off to a 4-0 start. And if you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. And it's weird because coming into this season with the Sixers, I feel like, we were excited to watch the young guys. We're excited to watch Maxey, certainly excited to watch Edgecombe. But, I don't think there were many expectations for this team this year. You don't know what to expect from Embiid, how many games he's going to play. Paul George, who knows what he's going to give you this season. But I'll tell you what, Hugh, I look at this team, and I know it's only four games, but you look around the Eastern Conference, Jason Tatum is hurt, out for most of the year, if not the whole year. Yeah. Tyrese Halliburton's done for the season already. There's no overpowering team in this conference. Basically, the Knicks, it's the Cavs, mm-hmm. and everybody else is just kind of in the same grouping. I'm not lowering expectations to think that this team can't do anything this year. I'm raising expectations. I think this is a Sixers team that could compete for an Eastern Conference championship this season. Whoa. Do you agree? Are you raising your expectations?
No, I'm enjoying the season, Tom. See, this is where you get your feelings hurt. You jump all in. You just meet somebody. You already buying flowers.
I'm picking out on the Sixers.
You picking out like wedding venues and all the other good stuff, man. Pump your brakes, man. Enjoy this honeymoon period. Enjoy this period of getting to know the person that you just met.
And they've hurt me before too.
Yeah,
I'm getting back with the girl that cheated on me.
You already picking out a suit to wear to the wedding, man. Enjoy the time that you're spending with this Sixers team, and see what happens towards the end. But I tell you this. It's fun to watch the young guys play. It's fun to see Tyrese Maxey emerge as a young star. It's fun to see VJ Edgecombe cut his teeth in the NBA. Four games in, man. It's a lot of games to play.
There's a lot of talent on this team.
Yes, it is, man, and they're playing well. And Joel Embiid is becoming more of a role player. Now, he had a good spot the other day, but I think that they're really trying to load management him as much as they possibly can.
And that's the way Embiid's best suited to be, because we've seen in the postseason, like, you can't run your offense through Joel Embiid in the playoffs. Like, it's different. Yeah. In the regular season, it's easier to play through a big man like that. In the playoffs, it's just too hard. You need guys on the ball who can score, who can create, do stuff like that by themselves. Maxey can do that. Edgecombe can do that. You're going to get Jared McCain back soon, who we forget how great he was before he got injured last year. And that's what, like, and I'm... This is the best part about this team, is I don't need Joel to be MVP Joel.
Mm-mm.
I don't need Paul George to be a star. I just Mm-mm. need, can Paul George come and give me 18 points a game? Give me 18 points a game in 32 minutes. That's what I need from Paul George.
This is what I'm worried about with Nick Nurse and this team right now, is when they, whatever is going on with Paul George and Joel Embiid gets up to speed, how is that going to affect the young guys when they get back? Well, the young guys now that are playing, and you kind of worry about that a little bit.
Yeah, and I think there's going to be adjustments to the roster with how they go throughout the season. But with Joel, I mean, I think they figured out a way to work. I mean, Paul George, I don't think Paul George is a guy who is necessarily tough to play with. Like, he's not a guy who needs the ball a ton. And, yeah, if we're in the Western Conference, I'm probably looking at it and saying, yeah, the Sixers, hey, they have no chance. It's going to be really hard to do something with all the great teams. But you look at the East stinks. And I do think they have a legit chance. I'm raising my expectations. I think the Sixers can compete for a conference championship this year. And what do I feel? Am I getting ahead of myself? 215-592-9494. Hugh thinks I'm getting out in front of it here. Kyle, where do you fall on this? Are you raising expectations? Are we looking at potentially Eastern Conference Championship this year? Jump in.
I refuse to do it because I think what is making me have the most fun is that I don't have expectations. I'm just kind of this season.
Exactly. That's kind of where I'm at, man. You just want to enjoy the games. See what the young guys
fun.
Do. See what VJ, no, how he grows.
It's very fun, yeah. Actually.
That's a loser's mentality,
it's, man. Well, fine. We've been losers for a while.
That's true.
I'm looking.
The other mentality didn't work for us.
Honestly, yeah. Like, I'm looking toward the future. I don't want to make myself angry about this team being that they're so young if they fall short of, like, too high of expectations. So keeping the expectations low. I'm keeping the expectations off. I just want to see the young kids play, have fun, develop. We'll talk about expectations next.
Well, what if it's 7-0?
Nope.
Like, how much would it take? What would it take for you to get to that point?
Oh, man.
Nothing?
I don't want to do it. I can't get there.
Oh, my God. Just... what's happening to you, Kyle? You're letting the top three off the hook for the Phillies.
Yeah.
You're not expecting anything from the Sixers.
What is happening?
Come on, jump in,
man. I'm right.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah. When I heard Kyle say he was letting the top three off the hook a few weeks ago,
well,
I wanted to punch my radio. I was
well,
so angry.
I don't agree with that, but I do. I kind of see where Kyle was going with this. I haven't watched any of it, but my phone, my alerts have been going on my phone off on like every night that the Dodgers are playing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the alerts that went off the other day was, this is probably the most viewed, it's turning out to be the most viewed World Series in life.
It's been a great World Series.
It has been.
And people have been talking about it. Like, I've been ear hustling a little bit. People have been talking about it. Man, it's been pretty good. You've been getting some phenomenal pitches. I think it was Yamamoto.
Yeah, Yamamoto.
Yeah, he's been on, man, listen. Hey. Since that one time we rocked him, he's been like, he's been on fire.
Yeah, and just one quick thing on the World Series as far as it pertains to the Phillies. Because I know Rob Thompson's managing was a big topic after the series. I get it. And I think some of the decisions were questionable for sure. But can we all at least agree that walking Ohtani was the right move? Like, can we at least look at it now and say, this guy's, like, ridiculous? You obviously walk him in that spot. I mean, come on. That criticism was crazy to me.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, the guy's insane. And he's having an incredible series. And game five tonight, 2-2 series, should be fun to watch. But want to know if you're raising expectations for the Sixers. Do you believe this team can legitimately compete in the East? I do. I look at this conference. This conference stinks. I mean, it's really bad. It's the Knicks. It's the Cavs who choke in the playoffs every year. And then it's kind of wide open. And if the Sixers can get reasonably healthy with Embiid and George, get McCain back, this is one of the most talented teams, if not the most talented team in the conference. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. So if you want to get on that, you're welcome to. And also, do you believe the Eagles are clearly the best team in the NFC? I do. Hugh does not. So you're welcome to join us to talk about that as well. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Ricky in Mount Airy. What's up, Ricky? Yo, Ricky.
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 This is Randy.
Oh, Ricky, come on,
happened. Ricky, come on,
Ricky,
man.
The moment was too big for Ricky.
Too big for him again. Let's go to Self. What's up, Self?
TK. What's going on, fellas?
What's up, Self?
TK, one of the biggest things I learned in life is to protect my peace. And one of the ways to protect my peace is by not having no expectations. When you have expectations, that's how you get let down. So, no, I don't have high expectations on the Sixers. However, I do like the way they're balling as young balls because they run on the floor like basketball is supposed to be played, like it's played on the playground. You can't do that with Joel and Bum on the field. If you look at it, when he was on the court, they was down like 16, like they were losing. No matter how many points he scored, because that's all he's ever concerned with. The moment they took him out, the young boys went on a run. That's what you have to do. You have to minimize his play and get that bum off the floor as fast as you can and let them young boys ball. Now, allow me to toot my own horn for a minute. I sent out a couple texts before the Eagles game the other day, and I said, to beat this game, the Eagles should spread the field using three receivers and run off tackles. What did they do the second play of the game? They spread the field. They ran off tackles. And Saquon took his 68 yards. Like, I don't know. I call this station all the time, and I get criticized and crucified for my takes. But my takes be real, and they come true. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what was your take? What was your take?
Often terrible.
Yeah.
Often terrible.
What was your take that came true?
My take was run off tackle, spread the field, run off tackle, and that's how you're going to beat the Giants Sunday.
It's kind of a broad take.
What a great take.
Seriously.
That's not a broad. Why nobody thinking about running off tackle or spreading the field?
Yeah, because nobody cares.
Now, I'm going to say nobody cares until they win, right? But I'm going to say that.
Congratulations,
Tyrese
self.
Tyrese Maxey, because this station particularly crucified Maxey and was saying that he's not a number one player that can lead them, all this stuff.
Who's criticizing Tyrese Maxey?
He's also definitely still not the best player on a championship team. We can be realistic.
Well, not yet.
Listen, y'all said he couldn't lead that team. Y'all said he needed Joel Embiid. The Sixers needed Joel Embiid. And they don't. And he's proven y'all wrong, just like Jalen proving y'all wrong.
They have won four games. What are you talking about?
Hold on. It's a little early to prove victory laps here.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This station is like a woman. Like, you always do this analogy.
Oh, no.
And this station is like a woman. Oh. Every time you do something nice for her, she move the goalpost, and you got to do more. That's what y'all do to Jalen.
That sounds like a you problem. Yeah,
that feels a little disrespectful.
Yeah, I could bash you.
Not all women are that way, Self.
If I hurt your feelings,
well, Self, I mean, this has just been a terrible phone call from top to bottom. I appreciate it, as always.
As usual with you, as long as I agree with you, it's a great phone call.
Well, no, I mean, you sound like a moron today.
My actor, well, you are a moron. Every day. My actor that I'm going to go with is Robert Englund, Freddy Krueger.
That's a good guess.
That is a good guess, but it is incorrect. So, Self, appreciate the call. But, yeah, I mean, running off tackle was his prediction, and they ran for a touchdown. I don't think that counts as his prediction came true, honestly. And who's criticizing Tyrese Maxey? Like, Tyrese Maxey.
I think he's talking about last year.
What was the criticisms of him last year? Well, I feel like everything was a disaster last year.
I think last year there was some conversation about whether or not Tyrese could be a leader of a squad.
And I think that's fair to question whether he can be like the best player of a championship team. But I do think I think Maxey's a legit star in the league. And, you know, he's one of these guys where if we're looking at reasons why we should raise expectations and reasons why we should expect more from this team – I think Maxey's at the top of the list because you look at his career, Hugh. I mean, every single year he's been in the league, he's made a significant jump year over year, except for last season. Last season, hey, he was hurt. The team was a complete disaster. And I know it's only four games, but man, he looks like he's in great shape, first off. I mean, he played 47 minutes last night on the second night of a back-to-back. He's scoring at will, and he's like really turned into a leader. Like, he said he wanted to establish a new culture, and it looks like he's doing that with this.
Yeah, and then when you look at what OKC was able to do last year with the young guys and the team camaraderie, I mean, that's something to be excited about. You know, you got these young guys out there doing their thing, and Joel Embiid is going to be a piece of that. But I think his role is going to change. Just enjoy it. I think the hardest thing for us to do as fans a lot of times, and that's okay. That's why I'm here. I'm a therapist. I'm here to try to get you to calm down and get you right. I am here to make you think a little bit deeper. But just enjoy it. Enjoy the honeymoon. Enjoy dating. You know, every time, like since we're using analogies, ladies and men, you ain't got to tell somebody right at the gate you trying to get married, you dating for a purpose. Slow your ass down, because most of the time, everybody, they just trying to get to know you.
But that's
get
part
to
of
know the squad.
But that's part of the fun, though. If you want to, if you're falling in love, you want to fall all the way in love.
No, but you know what? When you start talking about getting married and the plan that you have for the next couple, ain't nobody trying to hear all that.
I'm thinking about going out and buying a ring.
I'm just trying to figure out whether or not you crazy. That's it. I'm just trying to figure out what your crazy is. Because at this age, when you're dating, and you got to figure out what that person's crazy is.
Yeah.
And if your crazy and her crazy match up.
Well, what's the Sixers crazy?
Right now, Joel Embiid is probably, and I'm not taking a shot at him, but I'm just saying he's a little delusional in where he is as a player right now.
Yeah.
So Hall of Fame player, but he's a little delusional.
I just want to do both. I think we can enjoy it, and we can also have some expectations for this team.
Can't be marrying the first girl you meet.
Yeah.
Can't marry the first girl you meet.
The conference is just so
just
bad.
Can't marry the first girl you meet.
So bad.
I'm just saying. Let's male go. Or female. Can't marry the first person you meet.
Let's go to Jeff in Wilmington. What's up, Jeff?
TK, you're going to get crushed in new people today.
I'm always going to get crushed in new people.
Is.
Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Yeah, apparently I already am.
Oh, isn't they running on him right now?
Awesome.
Also, Hugh, just keep your front door light out on Friday night.
I always do, Jeff. I always do. I get mad at my daughter when you turn on. What the hell you turn the light on for? Turn the light off.
Yeah, man.
There's no sign like "Don't come to this house" than the guy who has his light off. All
don't
his
do
lights
that.
Off
just
now.
Make it seem like you're just not home. You don't want to piss them off too much. So you know. So I kind of align with you also, Hugh, on this with the Eagles. TK, the way you phrased the thing, are they clearly the best team? No. They're trending up. I still think they're the best team, but it's not by much over Detroit. They're trending up, though, especially these last two or three games. Well, two games. And I think the Detroit Lions might end up fizzling out by the end of the year. Not fizzling out like completely falling out, just saying – they're putting an awful lot of energy into their wins right now, and I just
see Jeff season
similar to last year.
They see it like they're a physical squad, dog.
They are
physical.
They are, but their track record tells you. I mean, they are going to fizzle out by the end of the year. That's typically what's happened, and like last year. And I think Dan Campbell's a good coach. But I also think, while he's one of their biggest strengths, I also think he's one of their weaknesses. Like, last year, the fact that he – I still can't believe he played his guys in that game against San Francisco. That was an unbelievably bad decision at the end of the season.
That's kind of what I'm leaning towards. Also, TK, with the Sixers, again, with you, don't get your expectations up too high. Man, just sit back and enjoy it, because we haven't – this team has let us down so many times in the last 10 years. Just enjoy what they're doing. And if I were the Sixers, I would load management Joel in game, not each game, like take a whole game off. Just keep him, if he could play down in the blocks, if he would, he just doesn't want to. That would be a lot better. Let these other guys run the floor. I just hate it when he runs the floor sometimes because he's too slow now. And I think that holds him back, basically like Self said. He just holds them back too much.
Well, yeah, I hear you, Jeff, and appreciate the call. And that is one of those things where and we were having this discussion a little bit before the show. But like, I don't know if I would say they're fully better without Embiid. But I do think that there's an element of the Sixers where they can play a style that's better suited to them when he's not on the floor. Like, they can run more, they can get out in the open floor, and I do feel like when he is out there, it does slow them down a little too much to their detriment. With them beating the Sixers. So hopefully they can get it figured out and how to best kind of utilize him when he's on the floor. But when he's off, it is nice that they don't fall apart anymore the way that they used to. Is now they can run. Maxey and Edgecombe do get out in the open floor, and it is good to have young players like that who are able to do those kind of things.
Yeah, young and spry. They look like they're having fun, man. And that game last night, for them to chip away at the victory the way that they did, and going to overtime, that was pretty impressive. I like that. And you know what? After I saw that, one of the first things I thought about was I'm going to have fun watching this team this year.
Yeah.
That's it. Just have fun watching them. I'm already trying to figure out what dates I want to go to the games and you know, try to go to the game and just take my son and just have fun watching the Sixers.
Yeah, and they're fun to watch again, and that is at least the first hurdle to clear here as we look forward to the future. Let's go to Joe Mayfair. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, guys? Listen, when you listen to Embiid's post-game comments last night, that's the reason this team will never win. It's all about him. Everything's about him. I call it the Embiidismen era. And they're never going to win, TK, with this guy. Ever.
But Joe, this is the thing. He's not the focal point of the team anymore. Like, he's on the team.
He will be when he's on the court with George when they slow the pace down. He will be. He's going to get 30 minutes a night once they ramp this up. You should hear his post-game comments. He's tired of the leash being on him already. He doesn't care about the other players doing well. It's all about him.
You should
play it. He is an awful teammate. He's absolutely going to kill this team's momentum by being on the court 30, 35 minutes, taking minutes from Bone off the court, slowing down their pace, their defensive frenetic way they play, and just ball movement and spacing. I'm with every other caller, TK. I don't know what you see. He is a clown on the court. He has no lateral movement. He can't jump off 2 feet.
Well,
ridiculous. He can score when they give him the ball, but other than that, he does nothing.
If you've listened to me before, you would know I'm not a Joel Embiid apologist here. Like,
how do you consider him a winner and them going to a conference final already?
I don't think he is a terrible player, and I don't think he's the focal point of the team.
Joe.
Like, if Tyrese Maxey is the guy who's the focal point, why would they do that, Joe?
Don't back off, Joe.
He's not going to be healthy probably anyway. Tyrese Maxey is the focal point of the team at this point.
Yell at him louder. Get him right.
Drop Adam Ant to the mix now, TK. Now, what are you going
to
say?
So, Joe, what would you like to do? What would you like to do with him? You can't trade him. So what do you want to do? You just want to bench him and get him off the floor? Is that a good use of your money?
So they're not going to be a title contender then, Tom.
Don't back off of him now, Joe. Get him.
Stop now, Tom.
You're 4-0, Joe. Let's have a little fun, man.
Yes, with Embiid not playing at all in the fourth quarter, correct?
I love my job.
That's not going to happen.
Maybe they found their formula. Maybe that's what they do.
The formula would be not to play him, but he's not going to allow that. Please play his post-game comments on the air.
We'll try to track him down for you, Joe.
And they were horrible. They're all about him.
Okay.
All of it.
Okay. There you go. I 4-0, disappointing start. I get it.
I didn't say that. Don't put words in my mouth, TK.
Right. Okay.
I love watching I love watching Grimes. I love watching Edgecombe and Maxey running the floor, creating space, dishing, not just pound, 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 dribble, 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 pound, pound, pound,
pound
or
pound.
Get me the ball and I just hold it for 10 seconds. That's not what this team's about. They'll be more successful without Embiidismen on the court.
Okay. I got you, Joe. What do you got on the Eagles?
Well, the Eagles are not the best team yet. Let me see what they do against the Lions and Packers and the Cowboys. I do think Nakobe does help a lot with stopping the run. I think getting Nolan Smith's going to help. But they have to stop the run. You can't be letting up 4 or 5 yards a pop average on this team. You got to get their defense off the field. This bend but break, great red zone defense holding teams out of the end zone. You're not going to do that against the teams like the Lions and the Packers with great running games with Jacobs and the duo in Detroit. Just not going to happen. So they're in the mix. But until they get that run defense squared away, they're not the top team. I would take the Lions and the Packers over them right now because they actually do stop the run better and they have a better running game right now.
I hear you, Joe. What do you got for
us? I have a winner.
Yeah, what do you got?
I'm going to go outside the box because everyone's going to think it's one movie and one actor, but I'm going to go with Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
You know what? Somebody else went with that. That's not a bad guess, but that's not it.
That is
damn.
Good job, though, Joe.
Incorrect.
Good way to get after TK.
Good call, Joe. Appreciate the call. I mean, why are we being so – we're 4-0, and all Joe wants to do is scream about Embiid. I'm not an Embiid defender. I get extremely frustrated with him, but I'm 4-0. Let's be excited. Let's be happy.
Let's be honest. You know, money drives a lot of decisions in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Joel Embiid makes a lot of money. Paul George makes a lot of money. And whenever both of those guys get healthy, they're probably going to try to integrate themselves into the offense. And that's the problem, is what's going to happen when you try to integrate those two players into the offense. And how is that going to, handicap the growth of the young guys?
But, okay, we could look at it that way, and I get
I mean, that's the way you should look at it.
Right. I understand those concerns, but I also think, like, there is an element to this where, okay, can we not integrate these guys successfully. I mean, Paul George, and I'm not the biggest Paul George fan. He's not a difficult guy to play with, though. I mean, he basically, you know, have him stand in the corner, have him play off ball.
I'm curious about what Joe was talking about, because I didn't hear the post-game cuts. So we're going to try to get those. But I'm curious to hear what he said, because I know the other night he was talking something about playing minutes and not getting a lot of minutes, and he got more minutes last night. So I'm curious to see what he says, because I think that this team, when you look at it now, it's for the young guys. And when you look at the NBA and you look at the Oklahoma City Thunder, the young guys, it's their time. And they're moving away from the big three and things like that. They're moving back. It feels like they're moving back towards, you know, team ball.
Right.
So I think that it's important to try to have that dynamic on the squad.
Yeah, and that's what I disagree with Joe. I think his idea was, oh, well, once Embiid's off a minutes restriction, they're just going to revert back to running everything through him. Well, I don't think that's going to be the case.
Well, here's the reality of what we saw in a small sampling size. Embiid complained about playing time. He played, 3 minutes the other night? And then he played 23 minutes
last night. Yep.
So he does still have some pull on the squad, and you worry about that.
Yeah, but they're ramping him back up. They're trying to, I guess, gradually increase his minutes, but we'll see how it progresses moving forward. We'll keep all your calls going on the other side on the Eagles and the Sixers. Plus, I have a name to throw out there for the Eagles at the trade deadline. We're all familiar with this guy. A guy I think this would be an interesting move, and a funny piece of audio.
That's what we're doing today.
Man, Kyle, the disrespect continues. And a piece of audio from Vic Fangio's presser about the trade deadline. That's coming up. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Fall is here, and you know what that means. Comfort food and tailgates. Nothing brings heat to your table like Hatfield Essentials chorizo. Picture this. Cheesy chorizo dip bubbling on your table or in a pot of hearty chili. Speaking of chili, Rhea made some chili, man. I just want y'all to know it was tasty. Now, she ain't make it that many times. And next time, I'm going to give her some chorizo to kind of put in it so it'd be even tastier. With Hatfield, you're getting flavor you can trust because they put better care into every step for better pork on your plate. Find recipes at simplyhatfield.com. Hatfield. Better care, better pork.
Hey, it's Joe to Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, alongside Hugh Douglas. This segment brought to you by Meineke. It's football season. Make sure your car is game day ready. Take your car to locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. As it is a Wednesday, doing Hughes Clues, chance to win a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in New York, Delaware. You guys will be out there tomorrow. Our first clue was an actor in an iconic horror film, correct?
Yes.
Nailed it.
Okay. There you go. Sorry. forgot for a second. What is the next clue, Mr. Douglas?
The next clue is this person is a notable sports fan.
This person is a notable sports fan. Okay. So we're two clues in an iconic horror film, and is a notable sports fan. Again, your chance to win a $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. As we're talking about the Eagles, do you think they're clearly the best team in the NFC? And also with the Sixers, are you ready to raise your expectations? 4-0 start, obviously early in the year, but man, it's been fun to watch this team. And I just look at the landscape of the conference right now. I think this team has a chance. I really do. They continue to put it together, and Embiid and George come back. Sure, they're going to be growing pains, I think, with getting everybody kind of to play cohesively together. But I'm really impressed by this young backcourt, and I think they're going to add Jared McCain to this in a couple weeks.
That's why I'm more excited about that than I am to see the old heads run, because we've seen that. You know, we've seen that before, and I think it's time, you know, and I know money's involved with this, and that's probably going to be the motivator for the decisions that they make. But I want to see the young guys play. I think everybody else does as well.
Yeah, and that's been the fun part. And I really think Maxey's making that leap, Hugh. And every year, again, he's taken a significant jump forward. And I think he's the one guy, like, I think he was really bothered by the way last year went. I think he was embarrassed by it. And you can see it. And we'll see if he can continue this up all season long. I mean, it's going to be hard to play at this rate. But he's one of the best scorers in the league right now. I mean, he's doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, and not only that, last year, I think there was an effort by him to try to become more of a leader. And he was shot down when he was in it. He tried to get the big fella, you know, to take his rehab more serious.
Yeah.
And Joel Embiid wanted to beat up the dude who told the media.
Yeah, he's still trying to find the snitch.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So that was his thing last year.
And he was trying to put hands on Marcus.
No, well, okay. I thought you were encouraging once again Embiid to.
No, I just said he was trying to put hands on Marcus.
Who was he trying to put hands on?
Marcus Hayes.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Yeah. forgot that happened. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Yeah. And Bede's got to chill out a little bit. In a minute, do want to get to the NFL trade deadline coming up next week. And an interesting name that I think the Eagles should pursue. We'll get to that coming up. First, let's go back to the phones. Go to Violet in Virginia. What's up, Violet?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, Violet. How you doing?
I'm great. Sorry. I know I always do this because I'm always doing stuff. So I wanted to touch on the Eagles, and then I'm not a big basketball person, but I'm going to have to start watching because I'm hearing so many good things. I'm not going to put them at the best yet. I need to see how they come out of this bye week and how they play against Green Bay. I think that's going to be a huge test. I'm really, really excited about the Flyers. I don't know if you guys saw that game last night. So yay, Flyers. And I wanted to touch on the AJ Brown situation. I just wish folks would just leave it alone. AJ, I know he's really quirky.
For the record, Violet, you're the first person to bring AJ Brown up on the show today.
Violet, leave it alone.
I mean, starting rumors.
God.
Come on, Violet.
I just meant it in the sense that, look, stop with the trade rumors, okay? He's not going anywhere because I'm going to tell you what. If you get rid of AJ, I mean, I love DeMonte, and I think he's phenomenal. But as you can see, anything can happen in the NFL. And what? I mean, God forbid if something were to happen to DeMonte, then what? I mean, I'm sorry. AJ, I know, is quirky. He's a little weird in the head. I don't know what his deal is. You know, sometimes I kind of relate him to an artist, and artists are just quirky.
Yeah, Violet, I get what you're saying, but, like, at the same time, it's been something, like, every week all year long. And, like, when it's a national story, and when Jeffrey Lurie is asked about it, and he doesn't, like, totally shoot it down or shut it down, I mean, it is valid to talk about at that point.
Understand, but I also, at some point, you know, and as much as I love Nick Sirianni, at some point, you know, Nick needs to bring him in and say, look, either cut the crap or you're going to face consequences. You know, I mean, it goes two ways. And I get it. I understand he's really annoying, but he's a great player. I don't know. You know, I just don't think you the trade rumors are crazy. And one last thing, the baseball, go Toronto, because they have two ex-Phillies.
Well, there you go, Violet. They do. What do you got for a guess for Hughes Clues?
Okay, I think I'm going to be way off because I have it written down. Hold on. Anthony Perkins from Psycho?
That's a good guess.
That's a good guess. Okay. Not correct, Violet. Appreciate the call. So Hughes Clues will continue on. But hey, Violet, I got to say, Violet is the first one to bring up AJ today on the show. I mean, I don't think we even said his name until now.
Nah, we haven't.
I love a good leave alone this topic that I'm bringing up.
Yeah. And we love you, Violet, but hey.
We're not going to leave it alone, by the way.
No, we're not going to leave it alone. And this is the thing. I get people don't want AJ. Like, I don't want AJ Brown traded. I'll say that right now. I don't want him traded. I don't think he should be traded. That being said, you know, these reports don't come out of nowhere. Like, I don't think these reporters just make up in the morning, mm-mm, oh, I'm going to make up an A.J. Brown rumor today. It's reported on because I think, you know, there's at least conversations that have happened in the Novacare complex.
Yeah, and I just find it fascinating that when this topic is brought up, we are the antagonist, you know.
Well, you know that.
In the media, we're the antagonist.
Yep.
And people say, we just need to leave it alone. So I got to ask, is that how most people handle their problems? When they have problems, they just put your head in the sand and be like, hey, everything's good?
No, I don't think so. I don't think so.
I mean, especially when you're talking about, like, this is where I think we differ. Because I've been in locker rooms, right? And that's not me trying to say I'm better than anybody. You know, you got to be careful because a lot of people are sensitive, so I got to say that. You know, and it's not me being better than anybody. But I understand how certain rifts can affect a team. I give an example all the time. Me and B. Mitch, we were going at it before a Tennessee game. And, you know, it got to the point where it almost came to blows. And I felt bad for that because it shouldn't have got to that point. Because it was on me. It shouldn't have got to that point. So I went and apologized because the health and well-being of the team was bigger than my petty squabble. And I think that's the thing that people don't understand. You just want this team to go out and win football games. Well, how does that happen? It happens when everybody's rowing in the same direction. And when I hear people say, oh, well, you guys are doing this and that, we only talk about things that could potentially affect the team.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about trading AJ or something like that, these are hypothetical situations, you know. But the bottom line is this. If he's doing something to disrupt the team, that could throw the team chemistry off.
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line.
Absolutely. And like you said, Hugh, I mean, in the NFL more than any other sport, you need everybody going in the same direction. Like, they're the teams that win championships. They're the teams that win at the highest level is when everybody is kind of, you know, on the same page and going in the same direction. And that's, I think, the concern that I have, and I think many of us have, and I think that the Eagles have as well with AJ, is it's at a point where it's just like, enough's enough. You got to get on board right now. I feel like that's where we are.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where we're halfway through the season, you know, and we need to start separating. This is where teams are starting to separate themselves. I was just looking at the clips we put up, and people were talking about, oh, the Detroit Lions haven't looked good for the last three or four games. Man, they've been dropping 30 and 40 on people. What are you talking about?
Right.
Like, I don't understand what you're seeing when you talk about this team. They're scoring at least 30 points a game. You know, and we're sitting around here, and we scored the most points this season Sunday. Like, that's the thing. Like, this is I'm about to get on my soapbox now, because this is where people I get a little irritated talking football, because a lot of people, when we talk, we're in our feelings about it. And I'm trying to sit here and give you facts about it.
Are you Ryan Clarking us?
I'm about to, a little bit. Because it's irritating, because when I say, I know everybody, you know, you played Cleveland Browns, played whatever. They've been consistently scoring at least 30-plus points a game. We just eclipsed 30 points Sunday. We're in week 7. What do you not understand when I say that?
Yeah.
Like, seriously, we have been struggling scoring points with the offense that we have. But when I sit here and say, hey, might have a little trouble. Well, what do you mean? They ain't played nobody. We have struggled with the talent that we have to score 30 points a game. We just scored 38, so what the hell are you talking about?
Well, they scored 33 against the Rams. I mean, you did get seven on a field goal.
Okay, who got the seven? Didn't the defense score?
Yeah, Jordan Davis.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like it's not like nobody's trying to poo-poo. Nobody's trying to trade anybody. We're sitting there having conversations about football that you clearly don't understand.
Right, absolutely.
Like, for real. They're scoring 30 points a clip.
Yeah.
They've been doing that since the beginning of the season.
Yeah. And the Eagles need to get on that level offensively.
And that's
for sure.
Why, okay, since we're here. And that's what I'm talking about. When I say this team is going to give them trouble, they're going to have to probably go into a game and go touchdown for touchdown. And we just scored 38 points. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and they're going to have to show that they can do that. And that's something the Eagles have not shown yet, that they can win a shootout like that. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. But the trade deadline is coming up next week. And obviously we talked about the AJ part of it. But what we haven't talked about as much is who the Eagles could potentially go after and acquire. And there's a guy out there. And this was a prediction that I made before the year started. I said before the year, I believe the Eagles would trade for this player, and I think he could be available because you look at Pittsburgh right now, their defense is a mess. And they went out in the offseason. It felt very much like the Eagles in 2011, where they signed Nnamdi Asamoah, they trade for DRC, you already have Asante Samuel, and theoretically, you have all these corners. Okay, it should work out great. Steelers, they had Joey Porter Jr., they trade for Jalen Ramsey, and they signed Darius Slay. Slay is not having a good year right now with the Steelers. And I'm calling on the Eagles right now. Bring him home.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
Bring him home.
That guy, I forgot about that
guy. Bring him home.
Bring Slay back to the Eagles right now. I mean, would he not be an upgrade over Kelee Ringo, Adoree Jackson, Ja'Quarian Bennett? I get he's having a bad year at this point, but he's coming in to be your number two corner. You got Quinyon on the other side. You got Cooper DeJean in the middle. Come on, sixth round pick, Darius Slay. Bring him home,
yeah. A little bit like copium.
Coping?
Copium.
I mean, it's just silly.
Why is it silly?
Well, because we're upgrading from elephant crap to dog crap. Like,
Slay was good last year.
Go get me a good. I don't care. He stinks right now. Go get me an actual good player.
Maybe he just doesn't fit with their defense. He knows this defense very well.
Or he just fell off a cliff, Tom. He's old now.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like I'm not talking about trading a third for him.
Cool.
I'm talking about trading a six round pick. See what he got. He's got to be better than Ringo. And these guys stink that they got. Yeah, you guys are out on Slay, huh?
Yeah, dude. Come on.
I'm like, you can't. Guys. We can't bring everybody back, man. Bring
the band back to get BG back. Bring all the old guys back. Come on.
Go get me an actual good player. I mean, like, we went through this with James Bradberry. Sometimes when the corner,
Bradberry.
Dude, he's playing like him this year. He stinks right now.
He had a rough game the other
But, like,
night.
Sometimes with the corners, they just, like, when it's over, it's over.
It kind of happens like that. They just fall off a cliff.
I think Slay's got a little bit left. I think he's got a half a season left. I think he's better than what you have right now.
You heard Art. Get the hell out of here.
What was that call in reference to? I think that was the day
he
I forget.
He was out on Vic Fangio.
Yes.
This offseason, by the way, after he won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And Joe said, he said it was the best defense Eagles have ever had.
Yes.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
That's right. I've listened. I was in like a day later and we replayed the call. That's how good that call was from Art.
By the way, he was out on Fangio after the Super Bowl, but after watching the Dallas game, he was in on Fangio week one. So I didn't
Dallas game this year?
Mm-hmm.
He was out after the Super Bowl? That doesn't make a lot of sense. But speaking of Vic Fangio, this is pretty great. Now, he was asked at his press conference yesterday, because you trade deadline, how much input does he have? Vic Fangio was asked about that yesterday.
The timing of the bye week relative to the trade deadline, is that advantageous for you in the fact that maybe you get to watch more tape of prospective trade prospects?
No.
What is your role with Howie when it comes to?
Minuscule.
I love that guy so much. I mean, Vic Fangio is just the best, is he not?
He's a good coach.
Yeah.
He's a really, really good coach, man, and he's a matter-of-fact kind of guy. You know, I jive well with guys like that. There's no gray area with him.
Do you think he has, you know, I know what he said there, Hugh, but do you think he has a lot of say in who they acquire or not really?
I think he is at the point of his career where he really doesn't give two hoots about who you got. If they don't work for what he's trying to do, they just don't work. Bryce Huff is a perfect example of that. I have never seen a team give up on somebody they gave so much money to after one season. And I'm convinced that Vic went in office, said, I can't use this guy, and Howie tried to, you know, do whatever he does. And Vic told him, like, listen here, dog, that dog ain't hunting. He needs to get out of here. I believe that. And Howie probably was upset about it, but Vic just brought you a Super Bowl. So what you going to say to him?
Yeah.
And he knows his defense, and his defense has played well under him. So you got to do what's best for the overall squad.
I'd hope they get his thoughts on players. Like, I'm sure, you know, I guess It's probably more a situation where they ask, hey, if you had a preference between this guy or that guy, who would you rather have?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I just love the way he answers.
Yeah, well, not getting his input is how you end up with a Breitsoff situation.
Right, right. So I think he's probably underselling it a little bit there in terms of the impact that he has. Let's go to Rob in Delco. What's up, Rob?
Yo, guys. Good. How you guys doing?
What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, Hugh? Listen. Hugh, I got to kind of go with DK in this. TK, I think the Sixers can win it all. Really, I do. I mean, I know it's four games, Hugh, and you're saying enjoy the ride, but to me, I kind of look at the other side of the coin, Hugh, and it's like I like to go all in, and at the end, if my feelings get crushed or I get disappointed, the agony, defeat, whatever you want to call it, that's kind of the part of being a fan, you know? That's kind of the beauty of being a fan.
I hear you.
That's just how I think.
How y'all choose to love. Love the way that works best for you, Rob.
That's the way I
love the way that works best for you.
Allow your heart to get broken.
Yeah, and listen, that's kind of beauty. Listen, you ought to be like Elizabeth Taylor, who's ever shooting my like 8-9 times. Like, listen, yeah, I'll keep getting divorced and break up, find
husbands.
A love.
She just had a lot of damn husbands.
Money finds money, you know what I mean? She's marrying rich guy after rich guy, you know? But, I mean, listen, my only concern, though, guys, Embiid is... his athleticism is gone. Like, I mean, when I saw TK Marvin Bagley, and I looked him up after he dunked on Embiid, like took it right to him and dunked on him, I'm thinking, like 4 points a game this guy's averaging. I'm thinking, like, Embiid would have either blocked the shot or knocked the you-know-what to the floor. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting blown by constantly and getting dunked on, and I'm just not used to seeing that, you know?
Well, yeah, Rob, and I think part of it, and we'll see if he gets more confidence as the year goes on. I think part of it is he's just very tentative with that knee. You know, I think he's scared to move that way and jump, and who knows? I mean, maybe he is just cooked, but the one thing he's still doing, he's still scoring. I mean, 25 points in 23 minutes. I know it slows things down, but there's still useful points to get from a guy.
Hey, they only won by 5 last night, and he scored 25, so you needed those 25 you scored. You know what I mean? And then we got, it took us to overtime to win by 5. But my only... I'm going to take a little different spin here because this guy's gotten destroyed for the Sixers, and rightly so. And I might have brought this up before or not. Daryl Morey, you might owe a little apology to, just a little bit.
No.
Listen, the negatives are
Hugh.
All yours,
nah,
that contract,
I
right? I know, Hugh. I know. I just try. Listen, Embiid's extension, almost $200 million for 3 years. George's contract, 4 years, whatever that is, 180, whatever that is. Like, they're big strikes. I get it. But when you made that Grimes trade, I forget who he gave away from Grimes, but that was a steal, that trade.
Yeah, and it was Caleb Martin he traded for Grimes.
That's who it was. Yeah, Caleb Martin, yes. So that was a steal. Drafting McCain, looking like drafting VJ. Even Bona is a solid backup. I mean, he is like an eraser.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
I understand... I'm sorry, guys.
No, well, this is the thing, Rob. I mean, I've had my issues with Morey. I think the Paul George signing was awful. I think that, and I don't care about the explanation that, what else are you going to do? That was a bad signing. But I would agree with you on the draft. I mean, he has drafted very well the last few years, no question.
Yes. He'll come in and give you spurts. Like Justin Edwards off the bench will come in and drop you some threes. I think he's an undrafted free agent or whatever. So, I mean, he's got plenty of pluses. So, listen. I think, Hugh, I think I said this before, I might have got laughed at a little bit on the show. They're going to win a championship before the Phillies.
No, you did say that. You did say that.
Yeah, they're going to win a championship before the Phillies. And I know I'm putting the cart before the horse. I understand all that. It's just, Hugh, I complain, about them all offseason. I'm back in, Hugh. I'm in. I'm hooked.
There ain't nothing wrong with that.
Four games.
Elizabeth Taylor been married 8 times. She married Richard Burton twice.
That's what it was.
Man.
She married Richard Burton twice.
How do you get divorced and then get remarried? Did they get divorced again?
Yeah, she got divorced and then she remarried him.
And then they got divorced again.
Well,
after
not
that?
In the same time. She didn't sprint it through some dudes.
Okay.
Like she had some miles on her.
I'm looking at the
free Rob.
He's up on Richard Burton. That's funny. Yeah,
what's your guess for Hugh's clues, Rob?
All right, Hugh, we're around the same age. I'm 52. I'm going to say Jack Nicholson.
100%, man.
There you go, Rob. Rob gets Jack Nicholson. He is the winner. A $50 gift card to Klondike Kate's Restaurant and Saloon in Newark, Delaware. Join Hugh, Joe, and Kyle this Thursday, October 30th. That is tomorrow. They will be broadcasting live from Klondike Kate's Restaurant on Main Street in Newark, Delaware from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Enjoy specials all day long at Klondike Kate's. Visit KlondikeKates.com for details. Congratulations, Rob.
Give us a good here's Johnny, Hugh.
Here's Johnny.
Pretty good.
That's a good movie. That's a really good movie.
All right, thanks, boys. Right. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it. So, Robin Delco, the winner.
She's been married to a lot of dudes.
Yeah. Eight marriages. I mean, would you really want... Like, after the third time, isn't just like...
No,
I just want to have fun?
I'm only got two.
Yeah.
I ain't getting married again.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
That's probably why I'm single, because, like I said, you meet people and they're talking about getting married. I'm like, it's not my problem.
So you're not going to go for eight? You're not
going
to try to catch
her? No, I'm not going for three.
Okay, good.
I'm not doing that. No, I'm not doing that.
There you go. 215-592-9494.
I'm going to be a foster parent.
If you want to get a foster parent.
I'm going to foster women until they find their forever home. Oh, my God. We can hang out until you find somebody
You couldn't wait to let that joke go, could you?
I saw it. Like, I saw that somewhere else.
I was about to say.
No, I put it on my post because I was like, this sounds like it might be a thing.
Did I see? Maybe you're where I saw
it. I'm going to be a foster parent. I'm going to be a rest haven. That's what I'm
going to be. I knew I saw that somewhere else.
Yeah, that's going to get me in trouble.
Elliot will join us next. We'll take your calls. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Foster Hugh right here. This is the Midday parent. Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
By now, have you heard me talk about my new tailgate drink, the new Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry Whiskey. It's the real deal, folks. It's bold, vibrant blackberry, softened with creamy vanilla, toasted oak, and just a hint of honey. It'll be a touchdown at your tailgate this season. Jack Daniel's Tennessee Blackberry. Head over to your local fine wine and good spirit stores and grab you a bottle or two of Jack Daniel's Blackberry to make your own Jack Daniel's Blackberry Lemonade. And remember, tailgate responsibly.
Hey, it's Jared Camera, and I'm John Ritchie. Did you know that the 94 WIP Morning Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.